I caught up with Warren Clark, a 17-year-old young man who volunteers a lot of his time at Salisbury and South Wilts Golf Club. He's a volunteer coach there for the juniors. His passion for golf began at just the tender age of 11. And during this conversation, he shares with me the challenges he faces as a young person with autism and learning disabilities. His disability hasn't stopped him from pursuing his talent, though. And he is now one of just 6 volunteers in the UK dedicated to making golf a more inclusive sport for people with disabilities. He is an ambassador for both the England Golf Foundation and HSBC Golf Roots. Warren has started his own golfing charity called Warren Clark Golfing Dreams. The charity is a not-for-profit community group that gives people with disabilities a chance to experience playing golf. He's a qualified snag coach and an ambassador for the Arctic One Foundation, which supports his cause. In 2017, his charity has introduced a staggering 5,000 people to golf. Warren shares what golf has given him and says that it is everything, really. He just loves it so much and wants to carry on helping as many people as he can. Warren's story is truly inspirational, proving that golf is a sport for everybody. He's making his dreams come true. A personable young man who devotes many hours every week to volunteer and share the benefits of golf with others who, until now, have not had the opportunity to try golf. He's growing through his contribution to society and to the sport and recognises that he benefits greatly from his involvement in golf. And the sport is all the better for his enthusiasm. Let's dive into Warren Clark's story.
So thanks very much for making the time, and I know it's not easy because I think you've just got back home, have you?
Yeah, about an hour ago or so.
Okay, great. Have you been at school today or working? Or?
I've been at work, right. So I've been at Salisbury, right. South Wilts.
Oh, okay, cool. You work at the golf club now?
Yeah, I volunteer in shop.
Perfect.
/ coaching with my local pro, teaching the young juniors.
Perfect. Perfect. Oh, you're doing a lot, I know, and so we'll cover some of that today when we talk. So, just to get into it, Warren, what did you do most of the time when you were not in school, when you were a youngster? Did you play any other sports or anything like that?
It was mainly golf, but I guess when I was younger, I've always been sort of a sporty person, so when I was sort of 8 or 9, I guess I was doing sort of like basketball, cricket, swimming, football, because at the time I was doing Saints Disability, so that's my local football team, playing with other special needs people, playing other teams. I was playing for Hampshire Cricket, so I got picked out of a certain few schools in the whole of Hampshire to maybe play part of a team, and sort of basketball was quite good as well, so it was mainly 4 or 5 sports, but I could have only picked sort of one sport, and I guess golf was more my thing, really, because I don't know why, I just prefer playing by myself than being as part as a team,
right,
sort of thing.
How did you get involved in golf then? Who gave you a club for the first time?
My stepdad was a golfer before I met him,
right,
but I guess when sort of the first time I was with him, he sort of took me up my local range, and I quite liked it, so my parents got me doing a few lessons, and it started on from there, really.
And how old would you be then?
I would have been probably 10, 11.
Okay.
Sort of starting, so quite late to golf, really, but, so yeah.
Well, I don't know about late. I started when I was 12. My dad's a golf professional.
And yet
I started only when I was 12 years of age, so I don't think it's too late at all. I've been a professional now for 40 years, so quite a few years, so it's not too late, that's for sure.
Mm.
And can you remember, going back, what you first wanted to do for a living when you left school?
I guess when I was leaving, I probably wanted to be a golfer from the start, really.
Right.
I guess my parents, sort of after 3 or 4 years, the local pro was like, he's quite good, we need him. You know, then I went to I went to like a college and I started to play golf there with a few other sort of my age sort of people. Then it sort of started from there, really. Then people just started to say, Warren, you're quite talented at the game, you should stick to this and leave all your other sports. And I was like, I'm thinking about it. So I have really now. So, yeah.
Very good. And so, and you now, you mentioned earlier that you've been down at Salisbury and South Wilts Golf Club today. So you've been volunteering there, yeah? So tell me what you do down there.
So at the moment I'm working 30 plus hours, about 34, 35 hours. So I'm volunteering. So when I first started golf, I started down at Poulton's. So the guy was called Chris Farr. He was a PGA pro, and I was with him for about 6 years.
Uh-huh.
And I was off when I was 11 years old. So I basically, you know, I started off there first of all, so sort of getting out, and he sort of started to say how to teach juniors first of all, like, and how to teach. So I started off there.
Okay.
Then I basically moved around to a few other courses. Then the pros started to leave, like a couple of them. So they said you probably wouldn't be able to stay here, Warren. Maybe it might be time. You know, they were friendly enough, but they gave me good experience. But back to Salisbury. At the moment, as I say, I've been doing quite a lot of hours. So it's basically sort of making sure, sort of doing all that pro shop stuff, like re-gripping, sort of how to do all like the pro shop stuff, so like the till, the phone, shopping, stuff like that, really, cleaning and
very good,
and stuff like that, and cleaning and coaching as well, and sort of. And I might be doing a bit of custom fitting soon, so that'd be a good experience.
That's quite a lot of hours, isn't it, that you do there? Yeah. 35 hours for a volunteer, it's quite a lot.
And I guess really, my coach has got, you know, he's got this the Force. He's got one of these like technical machines from Foresight. He's got the GC Quad.
Okay.
So one of the, when it first came out, it was about 6 months old, 7 months old, so. He got it like brand new, so it's a good thing. It gets me, you know, it gets me and the pro up there, and the semi-pro sort of thing up there busy. So bookings and all, we have to be responsible really.
What do you like most about the work that you do with the volunteering?
I think it's good because as I'm on like the youth panel, like England Golf Youth Panel on the Wales one. I guess to be honest, it gets my if there's any problems at the golf course, or if there's a problem, what I think, you know, if ladies golf or junior golf, disabilities or whatever, if there's a problem, I can just go to them and say, my local club, we're trying to do this, but we're sort of struggling with it, and they might be able to sort of help out and you know it. England Golf are good at what they do, so. But they said they need people like me. There's only six of us in the whole of the UK, sort of thing. So it's not many of us, but we've been doing it for a long time. So they expect if we can help out, they want us really. So yeah.
Very good. And so you mentioned disabilities there. What is your disability, Warren?
I have autism, reading difficulties, short-term memory, and basically I've got this like speech problem, and it sort of struggled. So if I say, sometimes I could say like the wrong thing, and it's like a speech problem what I've got. So I could say like a few words, what I meant to do or something, say like what and is, I could get those mixed up and a few things like that really.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't come across when we're speaking now, and so you obviously control that very well. You do that very well.
Mm.
When did you first become aware of being a little bit different?
I guess when I was about 6 years old. So when I was at school, basically I did my local tests, and my teachers were like, to my parents, I think your son or work me as myself, yeah. He has special needs. I think we need to get him sort of tested to see if he's got any sort of special needs or anything sort of, you know, semi wrong with him inside. Because, you know, as you know, autism and special needs is classed as an inside disability. So I get, and as well, I think a lot of people sort of don't understand. A lot of people say, you know, an inside disability is totally different to people with like one arm or one leg. I'm not, you know, because my concentration levels are very bad. So when I'm out on the golf course as well, a lot of people have said, for how much talent you've got, it's incredible, really. So, and it's hard to say, really, because I've noticed when I'm at the golf course as well, just how some of my, like, people who I work with and sort of, or any of my old friends really saying, I'm a guy with, like, autism or with special needs, the first thing they say is, you know, really, you don't seem like to have special needs, but because it's hard to, you know, to say it. And a lot of people have said, you're sort of brave to say it, and I guess I've got used to it now. So
Well, you've had it since you've been aware of it since you were 6 years of age. So And how did you deal with any of the feelings that came across at that time with the, you know, with people? Did they treat you any differently, or did they just treat you the same?
Well, the first sort of golf club. Well, so I had a few lessons then. Basically, I joined a first golf club. I won't say what it is, but it was a good club, and they had a good few juniors, but a few of the members and the juniors were snobbery. Right. And to be honest, really, they didn't really respect me. They kept calling me, they kept bullying me, and they said a lot of rude names towards me.
Right.
And I guess that made me quite upset. Then I sort of told my parents, then my parents went to speak to the manager, and the manager wasn't like, what am I supposed to do? It's nothing to do with me.
Right.
And it made my parents, you know, quite frustrated, really. So, you know, then I moved clubs to better places, really. So
you've seen you've seen the difference then between very accessible and inclusive type clubs and obviously those that are not so inclusive. So you would understand that very well. So what is it about your golf course? Because, I mean, obviously you feel quite at home at Salisbury and South Wilts, and they make you feel part of the club. So what is it about that that makes you feel good?
To be honest, I think where I play, it's one of the friendliest golf courses where I've been to. Everyone sort of knows each other, and if they don't, they're sort of, if you're by yourself, you can find a game quite easily, or it's basically, or as I say, if I've got any problems, my pro called John, he, or the manager in there, he, those two can sort it out, and they respect everybody. So if there's any problems, I can go to them and tell them, so I've been bullied or I've got a problem, can you sort of, you know, sort out and see, tell them my sort of views. And to be honest, all the guys up there are really lovely. So, and they keep the course in immaculate condition. It's not sort of, you know, one of these places where there's not many greenkeepers sort of thing, and the course has run down. It's a beautiful golf course, and and on the golf course itself, there's some beautiful views. Like on one of the holes, you can see the town centre, and you can see like the cathedral. So, because there's two courses, basically they call the main course the cathedral course, and they've got like the Bybee course, or it's a different course, it's a 9-hole. And you play within the race course down here at within Salisbury. So it's quite fun, really, because you can lose a few golf balls on the race course.
I can imagine. Did you have to make any kind of adjustments, you know, for the way that you interact with people and the way that you, you behave around the golf course, etc.?
Yeah, quite a bit. To be honest, I think, not towards me, but a couple of friends who I've played with in the past, I think one thing is, it's some places where it's not wheelchair friendly or it's not like disabled friendly. As I say, the first golf club what I started at, they didn't really, you know, they didn't really want people like me at the golf course. Not to be rude, but at Salisbury, where I started, it was like, you know, a strict golf course, so they wouldn't allow jeans in like the clubhouse and stuff like that, you know. Yeah, sort of young juniors joining up with the adults and drinking together and stuff like that, really. Yeah. So, and the men was with the men, and the juniors were with juniors, and the ladies were with the ladies. But at Salisbury and South Wilts, everybody's welcome to wear jeans or whatever clothing they really want, really. So
it's pretty relaxed.
Yeah, it's nice and relaxed. And I guess, sort of, as I say, the first, going back to in the past sort of future and the present sort of thing, me saying I have special needs and a few people respect it, and people start to grow on it, really. So
yeah,
if I make a mistake and I'm says, you know, don't worry about it. So
yeah
it's all good. So yeah,
tell me about the people that have helped you with your own game, that, you know, like your coach. I guess you've had a coach in the past, or you've still got one now.
So my coach at the moment is John Waring from Salisbury in South Wilts. So he's basically been on the PGA since, like, I think about early 70s. So he's been sort of taught by David Ledbetter, like the top sort of coaches in the whole world, and people like that. And he knows quite a few people. I probably could say a few names from, like, Ping. He's got clubs from, like, he's a bit of a collector, so he brings clubs in, and he teaches quite a traditional swing, you know, like an early sort of style swing. So it's quite interesting, really, how many videos he's got and how many books based around it. He's got hundreds of golf books and all these different sort of tour pros / coaches and how they teach.
Very good. And so, what's your handicap right now?
My handicap at the moment is 6.
Oh, very good.
Exact, it's 6.2.
Okay. So you've got big plans for next year, I guess? Or this year, I should say, not next year, this year.
Yeah, I would like to try. At the moment, I've got friends. I've got a friend who his name's called Tom Stagg, and he plays off +3. So he's basically the best. He's only 17, so my age, and he's basically the best player at the golf club. So I play with him quite a few times. So and a few other sort of scratch golfers. So I would like to try and get down to scratch and play against them, like, proper, you know, play proper tournaments if I could, like Euro Pro and Open qualifying if I could. Yeah. That would be my dream. And maybe to do like the PGA as well, because at the moment they're not allowing me because it's a bit silly. I need the grades, and they don't accept. They haven't really made. They don't accept people with me, because, as I say, with my special needs, I'm like 3 or 4 levels below a standard 17-year-old boy. Because you need 4 GCSEs, and the people who I work with, or sort of my teachers, I should say, they're sort of qualified, and they said I very struggled to get GCSEs. So, it's a bit. But I guess based around it, I've got other people from like this company called like Arctic One. So it's basically like a triathlon company, and like a charity. So they help raise people with So they help people with prosthetic arms and legs, so if they need any help, and they just give out money to people who do athletics and other sports. And I've got started up my own golf charity. It's called Warren Clark Golf and Dreams. So basically, using the if everybody's heard of snake golf, it's basically. I'm one of the coaches with Snag. I'm level 3, and I've got taught by one of the other guys from Snag. He's level 5, and my charity is based around to get people within golf to try the sport, and I do try and straight, and that's what England Golf wanted me to do, because part of the youth panel, and that's what the equipment, what they use. But and I work with, as I say, with England Golf. I work with the Golf Foundation too, and HSBC Golf Route. So
very good.
And so I'm basically one of their ambassadors as well. So yeah. So a couple of the guys who I've done with, quickly going back to Snag, I've got this inflatable castle called, it's called a Snag Castle.
Yep.
I don't know if you've seen any pictures.
Yes,
or
I have, yes.
Heard about it. It's the first one in the UK. So me and my family and my club, me and my family are very happy to get it. It was lucky because we got a grant from Support England to fundraise it. So we were lucky to get it, really.
Very good.
And it's a great little thing. So we've been around and do like local things, and I've done the Rotarian stuff. So I got grants from those guys as well. So it's not, I just like sort of, I like to do sort of coaching, but it's more sort of fun coaching, you know, and getting people to play golf and with disabilities. Using sort of plastic golf clubs, it gives everybody, even in a wheelchair or even if they can't physically hold a golf club, you know, they can still throw the ball and stuff like that. So yeah, it's good equipment to sort of understand.
Well, the good news is that you're getting more people to try the game that have never even thought about trying it.
Yeah.
So that's obviously good for golf.
Yeah.
So, going back to your golf, going back to actually when you play, do you have any, is there any specific moments on the golf course where they're a bit more difficult for you than perhaps might be for other people?
I've got to say concentration, really. I think, to be honest, I think, you know, the game's getting quite slow. And for somebody like me, concentration for, you know, an hour or so, well, you think people think it's about 4 hours, but actually we're only sort of concentrating for about at least just over an hour, really, because you're walking in between. But even then, sort of concentration is one of my big factors, because thinking about so many things at once, my head can go a bit crazy. So it's sort of breaking it down and thinking, you know, thinking about what I need to do, sort of thing. Right. So.
Do you have any routines for that? Do you have any routines to get you into concentration?
Yeah, I've got a couple of routines, and basically I've got this thing called like the Tron band, so it's like, it's meant to be like a concentration band, so yeah. And a couple of other things what me and my coach work on to help me, really, so yeah.
And what have you learned about yourself through playing golf?
I think to play golf, or what I've learned within myself, is sort of how sort of friendly and how open-hearted I've been. When I was a young person, I didn't really, as I say, I was quite quiet and quite a lonely sort of person. But I guess now I've sort of opened up and I've started really saying, look, my name's Warren and I have a disability. Here, it doesn't really matter if you're, anybody can play golf.
Right.
You know, and giving everybody a chance, an equal right in life. I guess, you know, we've been in, me and my parents, and doing the Snag and Try, we've been in like hospitals as well. So physically, you know, people in beds and all, or even chairs, like how easy it is just to change some of their faces, you know, from a boring old place to bright colours and something different in like the hospitals and all. And so, like, old people's places, you know, everybody should get an equal right. So yeah.
Tell me if I'm wrong, Warren, but it seems to me here that you're giving a lot of yourself to other people to stimulate them to, you know, to try the game and to play golf, and you're giving them an opportunity. But also, it seems, from when I'm speaking to you, it seems like you're also gaining a lot from that personally by doing that work. Is that a fair comment?
Yeah, I'd agree. So I guess when I sort of, as I say, when I sort of first started, I was, you know, like quite, as I say, I was with a couple of my mates and we were very quiet, you know, so changing the way I've sort of opened up, and a lot of people have said now, 5 years ago, if you would have said, or 6 years ago, said, Ryan, where you are now, it's incredible, and to get to my ability playing up for six, a lot of people I've been quite surprised, really. So yeah.
So who are your heroes and role models then that you've looked up to as you've progressed through your career as a golfer?
I guess I've got a couple, actually. I'd probably say when I first sort of started, I liked you know, Tiger Woods. He was quite a good person. Tom Watson, one of the older golfers, mm-hmm. Jack Nicklaus. I've actually got a couple stories, really, of, like, older players and, like, Arnold Palmer. I was at, when he was alive, before he passed away, his last golf event, what he hosted, I've forgotten what the course was now, but it was quite a funny story. I got his autograph, and he doesn't give out many autographs, so passed away, now it's a good collector's item, and I've got a lot of golf collectible items and what's good memories of what I've done, and it sort of keeps me going as well, you know, saying there's other people out there who, you know, respects me, and, you know, and sort of local heroes as well would be people like Ricky Fowler, and people like Tommy Fleetwood, because I went to see one of Tommy's first coach, Norman Marshall, and basically he was surprised how he's a great friend of mine, and he was surprised, like, you know, he heard about me and stuff like that. So all the support was like warrant my charity, he sort of helped out with, and sort of said, you know, you're a good person.
Very good.
And I guess maybe one of the somebody else would be Tom Conway in America. He's a coach, and he's been on the PGA for 50 years, so he's sort of given a lot of support. And I would say maybe Ernie Els, because it was quite a surprising thing. His son, I don't know if anybody knows about it, but his son is autistic, and he opened up a charity called the Els for Autism based around his son. And I was lucky enough to do the training, and I've become the first UK autistic ambassador to national provider / ambassador to sort of teach golf and teach how they coach. So, you know, being part of, you know, such a big thing as well, being with, you know, saying I sort of help out with Ernie Els, you know, it's quite a big thing, and his children, you know, and his family. So it's a big thing to my heart, so it makes me proud of all the things I've done.
Quite rightly, well-deserved as well. I just going back to Arnold Palmer, when you mentioned him, I remember meeting Arnold Palmer when I was a young guy, and the thing that really stood out to me at that time, I was only very young, was the size of his hands. His hands were absolutely enormous, and I remember doing the same thing as you. I remember giving him a pen to sign an autograph, and this pen just disappeared in his hand. His hands were so big and so strong. And even as an older man, I was very fortunate to meet him as an older man again. Mm. And even then, he had a presence about him. He was a big man, a strong man. And obviously, he did great things for golf.
I guess, just going back quickly about heroes as well, I guess before I sort of started sort of playing disabled or playing with just people with disabilities, and I guess basically a friend of mine called John Simpson, and he works with the On Course Foundation.
Yes, I know.
So it's basically people who work or who works within war, but they've been sort of injured or hurt one of parts of their body, and they help out raising money and sort of raise how to play golf again, because as I say, with those guys, golf's a good sport to get them in moving about again and sort of socialising as well. So they've given me a lot of support as well, so yeah,
very good, very good.
And they motivate me and John, so
yeah. Tell me about maybe just one or two things that you've learned from playing golf that might be useful to other people.
I think, to be honest, I think basically it it's, or the first thing out of my own heart, it's not an old person's game. A lot of my friends from college, they say, how can you play golf and waste your time playing golf? To be honest, it's not really an old man's game. You know, you can make fun games within golf, or as I say, modern day life. Now we're in modern day life. You can play football golf, you know, or foot golf. You can play snooker golf, whatever. I've never played them, but you know, seeing and hearing as many stories as a few of my friends have done, they're still playing a version of golf. So golf's growing in the game of golf, so it's good around the world. So yeah,
tell me, have you got any goals or objectives that you've got in golf that you'd be prepared to share with me?
Probably, as I say, I probably would like to do the PGA if I could. That's a long-term dream, really. I probably would like, if I could, if I got the chance, maybe is playing with a few, sort of, you know, if it would be more, not really more of a goal, but more of a sort of inspiration, playing with a few tour players, you know, and seeing how they've, you know, how they've played the game. So understanding, and, you know, I'm not sort of a person, you know, going through yardage books and hearing some of the stories, what they've had, you know, if they've had any injuries and, or if they've had anybody come up, anybody who can help them, you know, it'd be quite a good thing to hear some of their stories, really.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And, well, maybe I'll give you a suggestion on that when we finish the interview. So, any adjustments that you'd make to golf to make golf a little bit more user-friendly for golfers with disability?
One of them, of course, would be probably have, you know, making clubs wheelchair-friendly, because, not to be rude, some of the, even at Salisbury, really, they have a disabled toilet, but it's not really wheelchair-friendly. A lot of the places, they don't have a ramp. Right. So I think, you know, making the clubs socialise and getting people in there, if they could make, you know, more courses and even more, you know, making, I know it's money, but getting more buggies into the game of golf, you know, for people with special needs who struggle to stand up for 4 or 5 hours. It's a lot seeing some of the people with one arm, you know, one arms or one legs, how they swing. I can understand really from heart to heart, they're lucky to play golf really. So yeah, and I'd probably say, you know, making the game more sort of disabled friendly, you know, if there could be a way of saying, you know, come and join us, or, you know, giving everybody a chance as well. And I'm trying my very best, but, and England Golf are helping me with that as well, and Golf Roots are as well, and the Golf Foundation are, so...
I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about this Warren Clark. I think, just let me get this right now. Warren Clark Golfing Dreams.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right. That's your foundation, yeah?
Yeah, so
people can find that on a website, can they? Can you find that on the internet? So, is that .com or...?
No, we're on Facebook and Twitter. So on Twitter, we're at Warren Clark Golf Dreams.
Warren Golf Dreams,
and on Facebook, all you need to do is just put Warren Clark Golf and Dreams on the search thing, and it pops up. So basically, as I say, we've got the Snag Castle, but we're a not-for-profit community group, so we don't charge. But places like a couple of the things, I'm not saying names, but to be honest, a couple of people who specialise in disabled, they charge, and a lot of community groups and a lot of disability people who I've worked with, they don't have a lot of money. So me going around and teaching golf, you know, your standard lesson now is £25, you know, for half hour. So giving people a chance to have golf for free, a lot of people. And this year alone, I've got over, I think it's about 5,000 people to have just this 1 year alone. Or 2017, I should say, over 5,000 people to have a go at playing golf. Yeah. So it's a big thing, really. So
absolutely, it is. Absolutely. Tell me, is there anything about Warren that's going to surprise us? Do you not play a rock guitar or something? Or
I used to play a rock guitar.
Yeah.
And the drums. Not really. I'm just stout. Well, as I say, you don't really. To be honest, there's not many people like me who sort of specialise of coaching a lot. And in my own heart of hearts, a lot of sort of, I guess I could call myself semi-pro because I'm helping out with my pro, because I'm helping him out with the work. But a lot of youngsters now don't really want to work in a pro shop. A lot of them just want to play in, you know, they just want to play on tour and learn, you know, how to win. But I don't really see the side of golf like that. Well, I might. I do a little bit, but not. And I understand myself. I might not be able to get to that, you know, goals, because my mate Tom as well, going back to Tom, he plays off +3. And last year, he played an open qualifier and he didn't make any cut. Yeah. I think he only made like one cut. So it's tough at the top. But
sure,
going back to me, I think basically, you know, I'm just your average person, really, and who's willing to help out anybody where they can and when I can, really. So yeah.
Very good. Right. And you know, more power to you for doing that. Tell me, I've just got a couple more questions for you. I know I've taken plenty of your time here now, but if you had the opportunity to play a four ball with anybody, they could be dead or alive, I don't care, which three playing partners would you pick and why would you pick them? And you might not even know if they play golf, but just three people that you like to play with.
I'd probably say, I'd probably say Andrew Johnson was one of them. Yeah. I don't know why, I've been to one of his golf charities and I've seen some private footage or I've been to his golf club in London or sort of, I've forgotten what it's called now, but I've seen some private footage what European and the PGA haven't actually seen.
Right.
Only within the clubhouse it's seen it. So members of the golf course have only seen it when he won his first ever competition. So that would be one. Probably Arnold Palmer as second. And third, it would probably be Tommy Fleetwood, because I just like him.
Yeah.
I think he's a cool guy, you know, as well, making like that. So yeah, that would be my top three.
Pretty good three ball, that one. Pretty good four ball, sorry, because you'd be in that four ball as well. Tell me about the piece of golf equipment that gives you the most joy.
I'd probably say my putter. I'm one of those people who struggle with putting before John gave me this company called Seymour. So basically it's a private company in America. It's quite a quiet make, but Zach Johnson uses it. He won the Open using them. And to be honest, the person who designed Seymour, he had autism as well. So with the red dot behind it, you know, if anybody's seen a picture of the Seymour putters, there's a red dot behind it. It's a centered shafted putter, and basically there's like a red dot behind it, and you're not meant to see like the red dot at all. So if you can't see it, you're good at pattern basically. And I find with it, it's made my pattern increase by a long old way. Because using standard putters, you know, like TaylorMade, not being rude to them, they're good putters, Odyssey, I just find I don't get on with them. So yeah, I'm very happy with my putting at the moment. So
I'll say, well, it's good to be friends with your putter.
I found one what I like, so, and a lot of people might say they wouldn't use, you know, Odyssey, Scotty Cameron. I've tried them and I'm not the biggest fan of them, so... Mm-hmm. To be honest, I'm happy what I've got. So
very good.
It's a feel thing at the end of the day. I say, you know, people say driving's the main game, but at the end of the day, your pattern most of the time you use the pattern most on a golf course. So yeah, it's what you like the look of and what feels good to you.
Absolutely. I've just got two more questions for you. And the first one is, if you could be magically with someone who's got a similar disability with you, what advice would you want to offer them if they wanted to start to play golf?
Just be yourself. I think if you just be yourself, you can come a long old way in golf. To be honest, you know, when I was 5 years ago, not many people know me or heard about me, but, you know, I know a lot of people who, or a lot of disability people, who they don't play golf and they're very popular. You know, they've passed a lot of, they've got GCSEs, they've got all these, you know, and they're very good, you know, whatever they do in jobs. And, you know, seeing, as I say, just be yourself, really. You can, that's who you are and that's all you can only be. So yeah.
Very good. Is there anything that you'd like to discuss that we've not touched on up till now?
As I say, I would love to do the PGA, but to be honest, I'm happy what I'm doing, so I'm just going to carry on.
As I say, more power to you. And I think, as I say, I do think there is, I sense a change. I mean, obviously, you know, I've been around the game for a little while, and I do sense a change. I do begin to start to see some movement, and, you know, there's now some opportunities. I know there's some other disabilities now that have been given the opportunity to start to do the PGA course because, you know, maybe previously they've not been able to get the handicap, golf handicap, to a certain level, and now that's been increased a little bit for some disabilities. So I think there's a start. I think it's a move. I'm not saying it's moving.
And I just think maybe as well, thinking about golf, I think it's a good way, you know, of you know, sort of Congo of change, or not just Congo, there's different ways of getting handicaps. Like club, at my club, they do sort of, they do not so, you know, handicaps. So around like the 9-hole golf course, they just give them a handicap, and then sometimes they play 9-hole competitions because they don't have time or they don't want to play 18 holes. So I think it's a nice way of, you know, giving people handicaps. And another way they should, you know, if people, as I say, disability people, it's nice, you know, to just to play 9 holes and give them a, you know, a 9-hole handicap, and then they're happy. So, and you can still play for, you know, golf balls or any sort of competition.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's a good way.
I think it's interesting as well because the RNA, they're conducting at the moment a review of the handicap system. And there will be, in principle, there'll be a world handicap system that will be in place in a couple of years' time.
I think I'm pretty sure that'll change. Yeah. I don't know. To be honest, I'm not so sure about. I haven't really looked into that. I think that's a good way of, you know, I think that's a good sort of, the RNA have actually listened, you know, when we come to 2019, you know, the rules of, 3 minutes of looking at a golf ball, and not just that, you know, you can leave the pin in a couple of times where I've played with a couple of people, not being rude, but they hit the ball a little bit harder and it just slips out the hole. So, and some people, you know, if some of them struggle to chip, it could be a good way of, you know, making the golf game quicker and more, you know, wheelchair/disabled friendly. So,
exactly.
So yeah.
Just the last question for you, the very last question. What does golf mean to you, Warren?
It's everything, really. It's hard to say. I can't really put words on it. I just love it so much, and I'm just going to carry on doing, really. And I want to try as many, help as many people as I can, and I will carry on helping people when I can. And as I say, if you go on to Warren Clark Golf and Dreams, if you don't see it sort of here, if you go on Facebook or Twitter, you'll see some fabulous photos of me helping out with everybody, as many people as I can.
There's
some amazing photos of people who actually struggle. So seeing, I'm lucky to have my parents as well to really, I must say, thanks to my parents to getting me, you know, into the things what they do, and all my other PGA pros slash helpers who helped me with the Warren Clark Golfing Dreams slash, you know, who've helped me collect all this equipment slash England Golf as well.
Yeah.
You know, they've given me up, and to Snag and to every an Arctic One really. So, you know, my other charity who I help out with to help with those guys. So yeah.
Brilliant. Well, Warren, it's my turn to thank you as well. Thank you very much for the time that you've given to me tonight. It's been fascinating chatting to you. I've really enjoyed the conversation. I think it's been useful and really helpful, and I'm sure that a lot of people will benefit from this. So thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for picking me, though, I must say.
No, it's been a pleasure. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.